Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Dwaradari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Dwaradari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jayo Vishnupat Paramahansa Parivarga Chaya Siddhara Sati Shri Srimad His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi ki, ISKCON Found Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Prem Sekhar Hosri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivindi ki, Shishidara Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Gopa Dhanaki Vrindavan Dhamaki Shinabarvip Mayapura Dhamaki Gangamai Jamunamai Ki Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakti Vindaki Harinam Sankirtanaki Shishigonitai Ki Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Shri Radha Shyama Sundara ki, Gopremanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I don't understand what he wants. What is it? I don't understand him.
So, say that you can read 4, 5 and 6 by yourself and 7 chant together.
No, I was thinking of four should be.
That also you chant. Is that a chant?
Is four on the screen? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 31, text 4. Na khalu gopika nandanaha bhavan akhila dehinam anta atma drik vikannasa Artitaha Vishwa Guptaye Sakhe Udevan Satvatam Kule Nakkalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan Nakkalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan Akhila Dehinam Antaratma Trek Akhila Dehinam Antaratma Trek Vikanasatito Vishwaguptaye Vikana Sathito Vishwaguptaye Sakka Udevan Satvatam Kule Sakka Udevan Satvatam Kule Nakkalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan akhila dehinam antaratma drek vikana satito vishvaguptaye sakka udevan satvatam kule nakkalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam antaratma drek vikana satito vishvaguptaye sakka udevan satvatam kule Vaishnavis. Khalu, indeed, Gopika, of the Gopi Yashoda, Nandanaha, the son, Bhavan, your good self, Akhila, of all, Dehinam, embodied living entities, Anta-atma, of the inner consciousness, Drik, the seer, Vikanasa, by Lord Brahma, Artitaha, prayed for, Vishva, of the universe, Guptaye, for the protection, Sakhe, O friend, Udevan, you arose, Satvatam, of the Satvatas, Kule, in the dynasty. Translation. You are not actually the son of the Gopi Yashoda, O friend, but rather the indwelling witness in the hearts of all embodied souls. Because Lord Brahma prayed for you to come, to come and protect the universe, you have now appeared in the Satvata dynasty. Purport. The gopis here imply, since you have descended to protect the entire universe, how can you neglect your own devotees? So I have to read the next verse. How many more verses?
Till seven.
Text 5. You read it also the Sanskrit or the translate? How do?
Sanskrit, you just read on your own and the translation.
On my own? What did he mean by on your own?
As you like. As, you can read
as I like. Okay. I just read the translation. O best of the Rishnis, your lotus-like hand, which holds the hand of the goddess of fortune, grants fearlessness to those who approach your feet out of fear of material existence. O lover, please place that wish-fulfilling lotus hand on our heads. Text 6. O you who destroy the suffering of a Vraja's people, O hero of all women, your smile shatters the false pride of your devotees. Please, dear friend, accept us as your maidservants and show us your beautiful lotus face. Text 7. Your lotus feet destroy the past sins of all embodied souls who surrender to them. Those feet follow after the cows and the pastures and are the eternal abode of the goddess of fortune. Since you once put those feet on the hoods of the great serpent Kaliya, please place them upon our breasts and tear away the lust in our hearts. Purport. In their appeal, the gopis point out that Lord Krishna's lotus feet destroy the sins of all surrendered conditioned souls. The Lord is so merciful that he even goes out to herd the cows in the pasturing grounds, and thus his lotus feet follow them about in the grass. He has offered his lotus feet to the goddess of fortune and has placed them upon the hoods of the serpent Kaliya. Therefore, considering all this, the Lord should place his lotus feet on the gopis' breasts and satisfy their desire. That is the logic the gopis employ here. Nakkalu gopika nandano bhavan akila dehinam antaratma drik vikanasatito vishwaguptaye saka udeivan satvatam khule. You are not actually the son of the gopi Yashoda, O friend, but rather the indwelling witness in the heart of all embodied souls. Because Lord Brahma prayed for you to come and protect the universe, you have now appeared in the Satvata dynasty. Ma Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pashtadyade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we have to cover a lot of points. First, the gopis prayed to Lord Krishna in order to please him, because they were afraid if Krishna would not be pleased, he might leave them. And as our Vaishnavacharyas explained, they thought that Krishna might leave them for many lifetimes, for many lives, many births. So these verses describe the feelings of a separation In this way, they pray to Krishna that he might bestow his causeless mercy on them. And that should be the prayer of all devotees, that after so many lifetimes, since time immemorial, the living entity, conditioned living entity, is entrapped in this material existence. And finally, it has gotten the chance to again come in contact with Lord Krishna. How grateful the devotee feels. And that should be his prayer. That after so many lives, uncountable lifetimes, finally I again, due to the mercy of a guru, Krishna, the Vaishnavas, in our particular case, of course, all of us, due to the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, He delivered Krishna to all of us, to the entire world. So the devotee naturally feels so grateful. And that should be the prayer, that my dear Lord, kindly protect me so that I not again fall back into the ocean of material existence. So the gopis, they pray to Lord Krishna in this way, that due to their exalted feelings of separation, they wanted to please Krishna. And they also heard from Purnamasi, as explained in these verses, that in the verse today specifically, that Krishna, you're not actually the son of a cowherd woman, Yashoda, but you are actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, residing in the heart of all living entities, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Upadrashtanu mantacha bharata bhakta maheshvaraha paramatmeti chapyukto dehesmin. What is the next? Purusha paraha. Purusha paraha. That yet in this body there's another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the Super Soul. So the gopis heard this from Purnamasi. And they made the point that under Lord Krishna's inspiration, they speak in this way. Because that Paramatma aspect in the heart, it provides inspiration to the living entity. Because without inspiration, it will be hard to perform practically any activity. There must be some inspiration, some motivation. And as Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, if someone wants to worship a particular demigod, then he provides that faith, that inspiration, that conviction, that determination, everything. So the gopis made the point that Lord Krishna, being situated in the heart, he provides inspiration, and out of inspiration, they express themselves to Lord Krishna. The gopis pleaded to Lord Krishna for protection because he protects the entire universe, as explained in this verse. Vishva, what was it? Vishva Gupta? Yeah. What is that? Vishva.
Guptaye.
Vishva Guptaye, right? Guptaye means for the protection, Vishva universe. For the protection of the universe, this is why Lord Krishna appears in his world. They reminded Lord Krishna that in his specific appearance, he makes himself dependent on his devotee, and he even goes beyond his transcendental, his own transcendental work. As clearly demonstrated in Lord Krishna's pastime, rescuing, that's the word, you rescue the son of his guru, teacher, Sandipani Muni. Krishna goes so far. Because Krishna Balaram, they learned all the 64 arts from Sandipani Muni. It is explained by Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam. Describes in detail all these 64 arts. There's one specific shastra which describes even in more details these 64 arts. And as Srila Prabhupada explained, that they learned these 64 arts in such a short time. No wonder for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they wanted to express their gratitude when they completed their studies to Guru. That's the Vedic system. You learn something, then you have to show your gratitude. Dakshin, you have to give dakshin. So they spoke to Sandipani Muni that you can ask now for anything you desire, anything you want as our dakshin. And Sandipani Muni, he was thinking very, very carefully, consulting his own, his good wife. Now how can we express our wish considering the sublime, exalted intelligence of the students, of his students, Krishna and Balaram? And then he came to that conclusion that only Krishna Balaram, they're able to bring back our son, Sandipani Muni's son, who died in the ocean at Prabhas. So then Krishna and Balaram, they replied, Tathastu, so be it. They mounted their chariots and went to the ocean at Prabhas. Because the son of Sandipani Muni, he was playing there. And then he was captured by the powerful waves of the ocean, drowned, disappeared. So that is described. I would like to refer to some notes. Yes. So many wonderful explanations. Yes, so Krishna, Lord Krishna addressed the Lord of the Ocean. Let the son of my guru be presented at once. The one you sized here with your mighty waves. The ocean replied, O Lord Krishna, it was not I who abducted him. but a demonic descendant of Diti named Panchajana, who travels in the water in the form of a conch. Indeed, the ocean said, that demon has taken him away. Hearing this, Lord Krishna entered the ocean, found Panchajana and killed him. But the Lord did not find the boy within the demon's belly. So then, after Lord Krishna killed that demon, Panchajana, he took the conch that had, it is described, grown around the body of the demon. However, our Vaishnava acharyas explain that the conch was actually within the belly of the demon. They describe like that. Because I was wondering how does that look like? The conch grew around the demon, you know, around the body. So that would be a demon swimming in the water with a huge conch around him. So actually, they describe it it actually means within the belly. The conch was within the belly of the demon. And it's also interesting that on the pretext of finding the lost son of Sandipani Muni, Lord Krishna entered the ocean and he told Balaram just to wait here till I return. But Lord Krishna's actual purpose, besides rescuing Sandipani Muni's son, he also wanted to liberate that Panchajana demon. And as the Acharyas comment, that that Panchajana demon was actually the conch of Lord Vishnu. Just like Jai and Vijay, you know, they were cursed. They fell into this world, took on the form of demons. Similarly, the personal conscience of Lord Vishnu got also cursed, fell into this material existence, took on the form of that particular demon. So Lord Krishna, he wanted to liberate him, kill him, liberate him, and reinstate him in his eternal position. So then Krishna, he loudly blew his conch, and all the inhabitants of hell were delivered on hearing the sound. There's a nice description in the Skanda Purana. It describes the wonderful thing that happened when Krishna blew his conch. I quote, "The hell known as Asipatravana lost a sharp, sword-like leaves on its trees. And the hell named Raurava became free of its Ruru beasts. The Bhairava hell lost its fearfulness, and all cooking stopped in the Kumbhi Pakka hell." All the cooking stopped. The Skanda Purana further states, "All the inhabitants of hell were purified of their sins and attained Vaikuntha in the spiritual world." Hari Hari Bol! Then Lord Krishna said, "Suffering the bondage of his past activity, my spiritual master's son was brought here to you." Now he, of course, meanwhile he went to Yamaraj's capital. So now he speaks to Yamaraj. "Though in most cases a person must endure the effect of his past deeds, but you should return the son of my guru." So that's the general law. It's the law of karma. And Lord Krishna is a lawgiver. But he can also violate his own laws if he wants. So that's what he told Yamaraj. And generally, of course, that's the karma of this particular living entity in the form of my guru's son. But now, because I'm the lawgiver, I'm the Supreme Lord, I'm ordering you to return him, bring him back. And Yamaraj, recognizing Lord Krishna as the supreme controller, personality of Godhead, that he obeyed the order, instantly returned the son of his guru, and it is explained even in his self-same body. Amazing. In his self-same body, he returned the son. Then, of course, Krishna Balaram, they returned to Sandipani Muni, delivered the son, and they even asked Sandipani, if you have any other wish, we are ready. I mean, such a devotion, such an example of a devoted disciples, ready to do anything to please Guru, Guru Bhakti. Guru Bhakti and devotional service, it is essential. Devotion to the Guru. Because the Guru has no other business than to serve, please Lord Krishna. So naturally, whenever any service rendered to Guru, then Krishna is pleased. Because that's the only purpose of a Guru's life, existence, to please Krishna, to please his Guru, and to please Krishna. So here we see such a wonderful example of Krishna Balaram themselves. How much devotion, surrender they had to their Guru, Sandipani Muni. Now I would like to discuss a little bit, as mentioned in one of the previous classes, that in general we should not be very eager to talk about the gopis, the exalted pastimes of the gopis with Krishna. And very interesting points were made. And why is there a warning? I would like to talk about this particular point. Why do we hear that warning? One should be very careful to discuss the intimate dealings of the gopis with Lord Krishna. It is mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 33 also, that a transcendental sober person who with faith and love continually hears from a realized soul about the activities of Lord Krishna in his rasa dance with the gopis, or one who describes such activities, can attain full transcendental devotional service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, lusty material desires, which are the heart disease of all material persons, are for him quickly and completely vanished. So we have this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which encourages to hear about the dealings of the gopis with Lord Krishna, even related to the Rasa Leela dance. Hrit Rogam. Hrit Rogam. Hrit Roga means the heart disease. That heart disease, what is that? The demanding, lusty desires. They're so demanding. Kamarinam kadina kadita palita dhunideshas Tesham jatami nakaruna natrapa nopashanti Usrichatanata yarupate sampradam lapta buddhis Tramayata saranam abhayam mam yungshvatma dasi. That verse we find in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And it explains that there's no limit to the unwanted demands of lusty desires. And that's the heart disease. And that verse explains that I was not even ashamed to render such a faithful service to these demands of lusty desires. Nor did I even have the desire to give them up. But then it is explained, however, recently my transcendental intelligence awakened. And now I refuse to obey the orders of these lusty desires no more. Finished. So I pray that may this day come. May that day come. Patience, so important in practicing Krishna consciousness. Patience. So these lusty desires, that heart disease, it is not easy to heal that disease of the heart. But it is not impossible. And such a nice verse. Recently, however, spiritual Srila Prabhupada, he provided that spiritual intelligence in his teachings, in his books, in his lectures, in his thousands of letters. He gave us this intelligence. What is the use? The what for the ordinary materialist is the goal of life. We have been provided that intelligence. What is the use of that? Life after life, chasing after these actually unwanted desires. And they're never pleased. That's the other point of that verse. These desires are never satisfied. They're thankless masters. You render so much service to them, and they never even say thank you. Not even once, just more, more. Demanding more, more. As more you render service, as more service they demand. Not even desire, they demand. You have to do it. Otherwise you go crazy. So that intelligence, it is being provided. And that patience must be there. And that day will come. That no more. Enough is enough. So now, of course, there are many, many explanations about these intimate dealings, the warnings, the Prakita Sahachiyas being described by Srila Prabhupada in various purports. A lot of explanations. The most essential one I would like to explain, that first, to talk about the dealings and spiritual emotions of the gopis in a way that resembles the dealings and emotions of ordinary young girls and young boys. And that's misleading the listeners away from the spiritual nature of these topics. So that's the one of the most essential points. And then second, the danger of imagining to be in the place of Lord Krishna or in the place of a particular gopi, instead of following the example of the gopis in their completely selfless service to Krishna as the highest form of his spiritual perfection. So of course the immediate reaction generally is, I have nothing to do with that. But we I must be careful. Now, what I contemplate in my mind, the hearing these confidential pastimes. I remember some years ago when we went on parikrama here in Vrindavan. One particular devotee, he described a particular pastime, and he mentioned to the devotees that try to imagine Srimati Radharani's lotus feet were here at this particular place. And I thought, oh Krishna, try to imagine. Because the danger of Sahajyanism is that one tries to imagine to be in the place of a particular gopi and experience that particular pastime. That's the danger. Now how the gopis enjoy this particular pastime. And now imagining that I enjoy that particular pastime. Imagining being in the place of that particular gopi. And that's the one particular aspect of these Sahajiyas. They imagine they are one of the confidential devotees of Krishna. But at the same time, they cannot give up material desires, material attachments. That's the basic meaning of Sahajya. They imagine to be exalted devotees, intimate associates of the Lord, but at the same time they cannot give up material attachments. That's the most essential point of what a Sahajya is. Srila Prabhupada, he explains in one purport, the Prakita Sahajiyas proclaim themselves Rajavasis or Dhamvasis. The eternal Rajavasis like Svarup Damodar did not even come to Vrindavan Dham. Pundarika Vidyanidhi, Haridas Thakur, Shivas Pandit, Shivananda Sen, Ramananda Rai, Sikhi Mahiti, Madhavi Devi and Gadada Pandit, they never visited Vrindavan. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also explained that we have no bona fide information that these exalted Vaishnavas ever visited Vrindavan. Then Prabhupada writes further, many of these people go there to Vrindavan to solve their economic problems by becoming beggars. Although anyone living in Vrindavan somehow or other benefits, but the real Vaishnav is appreciated only, the real Vrindavan is appreciated only by a pure devotee. And then Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Brahma Samhita, Primanjana Shurida Bhakti Vilod Shanena. When one has purified eyes, he does not see any difference between Vrindavan and the Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. There's no difference. And then Prabhupada further explains, sometimes these Sahajiyas, they're shedding tears. But all scriptural conclusions are being washed off by these tears. Young girls is another example I heard once. Like young girls, they sometimes imitate a pregnant woman. They play some pillow, and then in order to get some attention, they imitate a pregnant woman. So similarly, the Sahajiyas, they imitate the exalted Vaishnavas by displaying these so-called symptoms of ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada also explained that by the shadow reflection of these spiritual ecstasy, they sometimes become affected. And it really looks like they're shedding real tears, they're trembling, it looks so real because they're affected by the shadow reflection of these ecstasies. But then Srila Prabhupada, he warned us that if still they cannot give up material attachments, then there's no hope for them. No hope for them to ever understand the purpose of a pure devotional service. Then Srila Prabhupada describes Sriman Purport. Presently, the members of the Hare Krishna movement throughout the world live in materially opulent cities such as London, New York, Los Angeles, Paris, Moscow, Zurich, and Stockholm. However, we are satisfied with following in the footsteps of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other acharyas because we live in the temples of Radha Krishna and continuously hold Harinam Sankirtan, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We consequently live in Vrindavan and nowhere else. We are also following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by attempting to construct a temple in Vrindavan for our disciples throughout the world to visit. Hari Hari Bol, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So it is so essential to preserve what Srila Prabhupada established. There's one interesting conversation between Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. I would like to quote. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he speaks, "And Srila Prabhupada, do you want us to offer a feast to your Guru Maharaj at noontime, a special plate of feast?" Srila Prabhupada replied, "Not a special plate. The process is that whatever we offer to the deity, that is offered to Guru, and Guru offers to his Guru. In this way it goes to Krishna. We don't directly offer to Radha Krishna. No, we have no right. Neither he accepts in that way." Then Prabhupada continued to explain that the picture of the acharyas, why they are, actually one has to offer the plate to his guru and he'll offer to his guru. He offers to his guru. In this way it will go to Krishna. That is the process. You cannot directly approach Krishna or other subordinates to Krishna. That is not possible. Because once I heard the argument, or rather the explanation, that we cannot offer to Krishna what already has been enjoyed by the Guru. This was one of the explanations. But the Guru doesn't enjoy the offering. He accepts on behalf of Krishna, on behalf of his Guru, he doesn't enjoy. Therefore we cannot offer to Krishna. And that is our philosophy. We cannot approach Krishna directly. We cannot serve Krishna directly. Prabhupada says here we have no right. No way. So that philosophy doesn't change under any circumstances. It will always remain the same philosophy. We cannot directly offer to Krishna. We have no right. First it must be offered to Guru, Parampara. And a Guru doesn't enjoy, if a Guru thinks he's enjoying the offering, then he's not a Guru. He's not qualified to be a Guru. He just accepts on behalf of Krishna and immediately gives to him. That's the process. So again, we have to preserve what Srila Prabhupada has established. And he wrote in one letter that he said, I'm very, very much concerned. Srila Prabhupada was in anxiety that what he established might be changed in the future. We can expand, but we cannot change. So this note, I would like to end the class because the time is over. It's 9 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Shyama Sundara ki jai. Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. You told me 9 o'clock till 9. I'm from Germany. I'm a German. If someone tells me till 9, then that's it.
We have permission. We have an override from our president.
But I personally don't like this, too long classes. We have to honor prasadam. Maybe 1-2 questions, but not more.
Yeah, right here, 3, 1, 2, 3. The big guy. Yeah, I have a question. You mentioned 2 things. Well, you mentioned more than 2 things. Thank you for the class.
Marsh, can you kindly speak slow and clear? Because
thank you.
I have German ears.
Good enough.
Good morning.
Good morning. One of the things you mentioned was that we shouldn't imagine Now, in the Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes that if one considers himself to be Nanda Maharaj, a Mother Yasoda, that will revert to impersonalism. On the other hand, we have the example of the Nectar Devotion of one Brahmin who is too poor to do devotional services to deities directly, and therefore he learned from the authorities kind of meditate upon deity worship.
And he burned his finger.
He burned his finger. So what's the difference between imagining that we're a certain personality and actually, for instance, hearing Brahma Samhita and actually seeing Krishna's lotus eyes, going to our imagination, whatever we can see is a picture. Just like our artists, they hear the Brahma Samhita and then according to how they can imagine it, they draw the painting.
So and then sometimes the artist is really imagining. And Prabhupada corrected the imagination.
As long as it's authorized by the scripture, then is that imagination all right?
If the imagination is according to Shastra, then it's bona fide. Anusara, Anukara, these are the two Sanskrit terms. Anukara, to follow or to imitate. So the point is that we should not in our imagination imitate, but we rather follow. We follow in the footsteps according to our capacity. We try to follow in the footsteps. But we should not try to imagine to be in the position of that particular associate, intimate associate of the Lord. And also that imagination related to prematurely imagine something I did not really realize, or I'm not on that platform. Still, I try to imagine prematurely. And that means artificial. It's an artificial attempt to make progress. But if a revelation comes on its own accord, then that is bona fide. Krishna can reveal himself in so many different ways. But we should avoid... Actually, I don't like this we should. I should. I should avoid trying to do that in an artificial way. Like sometimes Srila Prabhupada, at least in Germany, I was personally present when one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, when I chant japa, Hare Krishna, japa in the morning, what shall I do with my mind? What shall I think of? And Srila Prabhupada replied, just listen to the sound. Listen to the sound vibration, and that will purify the mind. And then in a natural way, Krishna his pastimes can manifest, his form, transcendental form can manifest in the mind. But in a natural way, one should not in an artificial way try to imagine. Because then the mind simply becomes distracted from the sound vibration. But on the perfected platform, we can think of Krishna's pastimes, his transcendental form, etc., but at the same time attentively hear the sound vibration. That's the perfection of stage. We follow the order of Srila Prabhupada. He wanted us to come. That's why we are here. Srila Prabhupada is so merciful. It is not that the instruction is not to visit Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada he made the point that one should not think because I visit Vrindavan, therefore I'm such an exalted devotee. Therefore he gave the example. They are most exalted. They were not even in Vrindavan. Of course, they're always in Vrindavan. That's why Srila Prabhupada, he gave the other examples. We have so many of our temples in big cities, opulent cities, but actually we are in Vrindavan because in those temples we think of Krishna, of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So then you're actually in Vrindavan. Yeah. So we are here because Srila Prabhupada, he brought us here so that we become purified. And it is indeed, it is so purifying just to be here in Vrindavan, in the temple, to see the beautiful deities of Krishna, Balaram, Radha, Shyama, Sundar, Goni, Tai. Such beautiful deities. Such a gorgeous temple. I always remember our Guru Kripa Prabhu. He literally, you know, risked his life to make that temple building, construction of this temple possible. We receive so much mercy, so many blessings from Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Good
answer. Hare Krishna. At the end of the class, you brought up a very important point. Everything we do, we first offer to the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada makes that point a few times in different places, in letters and conversations. We have the situation now that just the opposite in our deity worship comes from the deity ministry, which we're told to offer everything first to Krishna and then work your way down to the spiritual master. Since you brought that up, can you explain to me how we're supposed to understand that?
Well, I was attempting not to expand that point. Because it's very controversial.
Yeah, it's a very big controversy.
And I was asking specifically that, you know, that question. We learned differently in the beginning. I mean, I was trained, not really trained, but taught in deity worship by Himavati, you know, the former wife of Hansaduta Prabhu. And she directly learned from Srila Prabhupada, taught her. And so she taught me how to worship Radha Krishna. And all the items we first offered to the Guru Parampara, the Guru, then the Parampara, then up to Krishna. That was the process. So I was asking immediately about how come now it's somehow different. And then this was one of the attempts to explain that, you know, we cannot, what is being enjoyed by Guru, we cannot offer to Krishna. It's already enjoyed. And then I made the point of, well, wait a minute, the Guru doesn't enjoy the offering. He just accepts on behalf and he offers his Guru. So it is a controversial point. I think then it was later on slightly changed to we should show the article to the Guru and then ask for permission to offer to Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada used that word offer, not show or indicate or word. He said offer. He used that word offer.
Thank you.
Two brothers stress what you just said. For instance, he said that you cannot offer to Krishna. Well, if you give the flower to Srimati Radharani and then she gives it to Krishna, she says, "My dear Krishna, here's such a great devotee. You know, he gave it to me on nothing, but please, you know, he's a great devotee, please accept it." So Srimati Radharani offers the flower to Krishna and Krishna will accept it.
Yeah, but you're assuming that Radharani accepts it.
I'm repeating what Srila Prabhupada said.
Okay. Don't compare it. Explain to
them. Explain to you? No,
anyway,
you can ask Prabhupada to explain it to you. This is a lecture by Prabhupada.
Yeah.
So the point is that even we supposedly offer something to Srimati Radharani or Krishna, in the background, Srila Prabhupada said, "I'm always with my spiritual master. We don't do anything independent of our spiritual master." Hmm. So even though it seems we're offering to Krishna directly, that's the injunction or what we're still we're offering it as a servant of our spiritual master.
Yeah. But related to deity worship, because the question was asked to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada directly refers to deity worship. He said all articles must be offered first to Guru. That's Prabhupada's instruction.
I spoke a bit fast, as I'm inclined to do, and then regret later on. I think Maharaj may have indicated something of a path forward, that whenever, whatever we're offering to, our spiritual master is always with us. So in other words, in your example of offering to Radharani, really, we're offering to our Guru, who's always present with us, and he offers to Radharani. But even then, I offer an open moment, true confession, I still offer exactly as you said.
Yes.
Because I was trained by Shilavati, who was trained by Prabhupada, who was sitting upstairs. That we always go up to Sampradaya.
It is a big topic. We got the information that in a Gaudiya Math, only Srila Prabhupada and Sridhar Swami, they followed that process.
Kijai.
Nobody else.
Kijai.
I mean, I was trained personally by Prabhupada. as you said, the same way.
Yeah.
When Prabhupada came to Buffalo in 69, he showed how to do deity worship. But we have to understand, there's no real contradiction with what Gaudiya Math was doing or what Prabhupada was doing. Prabhupada understood the nature of his disciples, and he told them that, you know, always keep your spiritual master with you in whatever you're offering. Disciples would never be able to do that or even understand what it was. So whatever you probably told us to do is perfect for us. And if someone does it something else, then we have to understand that there's no real contradiction.
As long as the philosophy doesn't change, everything is fine.
One last thing. I have an idea.
You told me till 9.
But you know, as long as we've created this atmosphere, we don't want to leave controversy and, you know, do everyone. Because I said it cuts out the disciplic succession. Hang on. That, okay, I'm offering to Radharani, Radharani offers to Krishna. But my spiritual master is with me. So I'm really offering my spiritual master who offers to Radharani. But then you cut out the disciplic succession. But Prabhupada's, his Guru Maharaj is always with him. So he's offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You could say Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He's offering to Radha. No, his spiritual master is always with him. So this way, although it enfolds the disciplic succession in that relationship. I'm trying to get you off the hot seat.
So I would... We cannot go on forever. I mean, we have to honor. We have to honor prasadam. We cannot disrespect prasadam. Prasadam. I'm always hungry. That's my problem. I'm always hungry for more. But prasadam is not, also non-different from Krishna. We have to honor. So thank you very much. We continue another day. Hare Krishna.